Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Greek metal singer and songwriter Andri first appeared on the scene in 2013 when she founded her band The Harps. But it was in 2017 when she took Greece by storm after winning a blind audition on The Voice, covering a spectacular version of Deep Purple's Burn. The video garnered more than 1 million views on YouTube. After finishing as the runner-up at The Voice of Greece, Andri released the album Love Strikes Doves with The Harps, and was featured as guest vocalist on several albums, including the Vivaldi Project and prog metal act Pyramid, where she duetted with Tim Ripper Owens on the smash song Stigma. By 2022, Andri decided to take fate in her own hands and wrote and recorded her first solo album, Skies. Mixed by sound wizard Jay Rustin, the album features contributions from Billy Sheehan, Mike LePond, Russell Gilbrook, and Stephen Platt. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Andri. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I just woke up, got my coffee. I'm Greek, so I live in Athens, Greece. But our meeting point with the band is the Netherlands. So, you know, we have the Netherlands as our base.
Let's rewind. From what age, whether you were a child or teenager, did you think, cool, I want to be creating music. I want to be in this world. And how did that journey progress?
All right, this is kind of a crazy story. I'm not bored to say it again. I will. It goes like this. I'm like 4 years old. I remember at my grandma's house, and on TV, there is this kids series called The Power Rangers.
Yeah.
So the moment that I hear this metal riff, where it goes from E to F, like, I'm like, this is what I want to do in my life. That was it, you know, like there was no other way that I said, I want to be a singer. I want to be a guitar player. And then I was watching, like, during the series that one of the Power Rangers was playing guitar and singing, and she was cute and nice and beautiful. And I'm like, this is like the powerful woman I want to become. And weird thing is that now me and Ron Wasserman that wrote the songs, we are writing songs now together.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. How did those next steps happen from seeing it on television to actually becoming it?
I remember I wanted to learn music. If I was going to do something, I wanted to do good. So I was singing by myself at home for years. I knew that I had some talent. And I asked my parents if I could go and learn guitar, electric guitar. Still, in those days, it was a little bit of a taboo. But, you know, I didn't care. I was always the kind of person that doesn't give a fuck. So I started learning the guitar, playing my riffs. It was so fucking difficult because, you know, I learned also the Berklee music, because they have been teaching us actually notes and the books from Berklee College, which is freaking difficult. I still hate it to that day. And then I asked my guitar teacher, I said, hey, I want to come to one of your rehearsals. I want to join a band. And he's like, what? How? I said, I'm a singer. And he says, what? No, you're not. And I said, it's because you don't know me, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he invited me in one of the rehearsals. I sang Janis Joplin, and I got hired immediately. 16. So I was 16, and those guys were, like, you know, well-known in the business back then, classic rock, playing one of the best classic rock bands in my country. So I started working, basically, not just, okay, let's just form a school band or whatever. It was straight to the, you know, to the point, like, let's just go there, go on stage, get paid, go home. And that was my life. And that's my life still.
Tell us your band now. How did you meet them and how did it come to formation?
All right. I have changed more than 100 members. To start.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, that's what you have to, you know, deal when you deal with, not to insult anyone, men in the industry.
No, that's fine.
I mean, I had a very specific thing what I wanted to do. I had this very specific goal, and for a man to follow a woman, it's still a taboo, you know. You know, I might have like the best, craziest idea or the nice song. I know the melody, I know the orchestration, I know the riffs, etc. Not every person can welcome this into their lives. But right now I have found my top four players, and we're like, I think we're like a family now. I think we're very connected and very, they're very loving creatures, very talented guys. My drummer, his name is Hans, he's Dutch. And he's also the drummer for a band called Prey and Mantis. You know, like now we are having our own path with Hans in the music business and in life. My bass player, his name is Marco, he's Croatian, and we're getting along also really well. My keyboard player, his name is Fab, he's from Brazil but lives in Portugal.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And he used to play for Ole John Roth. And he's a great musical mind. And my guitar player, he's actually from New York, and he's the youngest I've ever played with in my life. He's 20 years old. Okay. I don't know why, but I was trying to find a new guitar player for the band. And I said, I want someone to bring the energy, to bring the musicality, to have great performance, great body, great. And Mickey has all of it, you know.
Yeah.
Like all the reviews talk about Mickey, like, oh, this child, you know. And I'm like, yeah, this child. And he's awesome. I think that the more that he follows and plays with professionals in their league like us, because we're a bit older, I think he's going to be one of the greatest guitar players in the world.
Wow, that's fantastic. It's interesting that these days when a woman is a leader and a woman is strong in her ideas and determined, she's still labeled as something negative. But when it's a man, they labeled as strong and whatever nonsense. I wish I'd get rid of all that nonsense already. It is all that just nonsense.
Yes, it is. I thank you for that, because I need that type of support. Because, yeah, normally the bands that have women in the front, they're like not exactly puppets or, but you know what I mean. Go there and sing. They don't do anything else. They're not involved in the business, the finances, the management, the songs, the orchestration, any ideas, whatever. Normally, because I have joined that type of bands where I was the front woman, and they say, oh, this is the song, you write a few melodies and then we can adjust them. And I'm like, you're gonna do what? And I'm like, do you know who you're talking to, bitch? I mean, I'm fierce. When it comes to that point where someone tells me what to do, oh my God. I can be like, I can be the sweetest person on earth,
yes,
but I can be the worst bitch of all.
So when you're creating a song from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes, however long that song is, what motivates it? What invigorates it? Is it easy every time? Do you write it yourself? Do you collaborate with others? Let's unpack your creative brain.
All right. Here's the thing. Sometimes I write alone because I want my quiety and I don't want anyone to just interfere with my thoughts or whatever. But I have found some people in my life that I love very much and they love me very much. I want to say, you know what? Can you just stay there and don't talk and I can just monologue, you know? It's more of like, you know, I can monologue and then I get creative because I start having this imagination of how this goes, of how this, you know, how the song goes. And then my friends will look at me like, yeah. And then I said, can we get it now into action? And then just because my friend plays guitar or another friend of mine plays keyboards, they start helping me with it. And I say, do this, do that, because I can't think and play at the same time and sing at the same time. I can't do that. So sometimes I need someone to have right by my side to just me telling the story, the whole thing, how it's going to go. And then they just start playing some chords and then I get it from there.
I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's a thank you to you guys for all the hard work you do in your creation process. I'm knowing that you're in the business, I'm sure you are aware that vinyls and CDs and cassettes are a massive comeback around the world.
Yeah.
Vinyls last year in the UK alone, 5.9 million sales, the biggest since 1990. In the UK again, there's a basket of products that they gauge exchanges for because of tax purposes. And because of the upsurge of CDs again, they've put that back in the basket. And this research is showing that it's the teenagers, the younger kids that are diving into this world, not the older nostalgic people. But then we also have these streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
Okay. I mean, what the fuck, dude? Have you seen his face? Have you seen the way the kid looks? Like, have you seen his picture? Have you just seen it? Like, this fucking billionaire who takes advantage, abuses basically all of the artists in the world. Because, okay, half of the population, they just want to make music for fun. And they just, I want to upload their songs. To just say, oh, I have a song. This is in my platform, blah, blah. But they're, half of them, we are working people, you know, in the music industry, make a living out of it, giving ourselves in this, continuing a legacy, and he's fucking us up. So mark my words, he's gonna go down. I think that it has gone too far. It has gone too far. Like, you can't pay me that shit, you know? Fuck off.
It's actually true, because there's an energy around a way a person conducts themselves and conducts business. And if there's an imbalance and an overextension on one side, the balance has to eventually come through on the other side. So it has to, totally agree. Now, what do you enjoy about performing live?
When I perform live, well, it depends on the circumstances that I have to face every time. To me, create some type of anxiety because I don't know what I'm about to face, because it's not always like big stages and arenas and TV. And I'm like, okay, do we have this? Oh, suddenly my in-ear doesn't work. Ooh, I have to do it by myself. Oh, I have to listen from the outs, or I have to listen from Fab's monitor, or I have to, it's just an anxiety disorder. And the moment that it gets solved on stage, kind of, you know, I'm starting to become myself and give 100%. Always the first song is a challenge.
Okay.
Like, the first song is like a big challenge. Like, okay, are we on the same page? Is everything okay sound-wise? For example, there was one time that I had a problem with the props, you know, like the sparkles, you know, was about to come into my face. Or there was, you know, you have to be careful with everything, and I'm trying to be as much concentrated as possible because I'm also playing in high heels.
Yes. And also, the thing is that what the audience don't realize is there are a lot of moving parts. It's like a 5,000 piece puzzle, and a lot of the pieces have to be put into place, or most of the pieces have to be put into place before they actually arrive. There's just that thing of putting it out there that something or everything will be right every time. But if it's not, it's just having to go with the flow of what happens, actually.
Exactly. Well, sometimes it's a big success. Well, it's never a failure, so that's good. I mean, no matter how difficult the circumstances are, the show is never going to be bad, you know?
Yeah. And also, the thing is that, you know, there might be things that are going on behind the scenes that the audience don't know. So sometimes it's just about putting that aside and, like, just putting your best high heel forward. And just going for it.
Yeah, see, I don't have someone to dress me up still. I do it myself, you know. I've had it like once or twice on TV because they had the dressmakers and stuff. And that was amazing, you know. You have your hair dresser, you have your makeup artist, you have the people that dress you up, and then you're ready to go. This is the easiest thing to do, because say, okay, there is this other band, you have like 15 minutes to go. Oh, I'm just putting my makeup, or it's a bit dark in this backstage, or I can see, I can hear, and then you go like and I think it's a problem, real big problem from the venues. I think that most of them all should be renovated.
Okay.
in like, you know, just fix your backstage, fix your monitors, make the people that come here from all over the world to play at your club, at your venue, to feel comfortable and like humans, you know?
Yes, absolutely. What do you love about the type of genre of music that you create?
I like the integrity. I am that type of person. I'm not fake. maybe I turn out to be at some point in my life because circumstances forced me to. The thing is that the real me is just very, very real and truthful. So I like this rawness that comes out. Like it's the soul speaking. This is why I like it so much. And I'm not talking about the new metal shit or the, you know, whatever, grunge, death, this. I'm talking about music. Yes. Music that has been done by Sabbath, Dio, Deep Purple, all of those great, great musicians, you know? I admire the high-level artistry. I just hope that nowadays people can recognize it again because, as you said, the new generation doesn't have a clue.
You know, without offense, the genre of music that you are in has often been very male-dominated. Do you still find in this day and age that you get resistance being a female in this world?
Yes, of course. And it matters a lot that I don't dress up as a dude. I mean, if I was dressing up as a dude and start screaming, I would have tried to emulate the male, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm the type of person that I will go with my high heels, put my makeup on and this and act feminine. And they don't like it because the first thing that a guy thinks when they see you is tits. So, yeah.
Sorry, I don't mean to be laughed, but it's just, it's true.
Yeah, look, as I said, I like being truthful. Yes. And I'm being sometimes, people like to slander my name a lot because I'm truthful. And they don't like women to speak. And there are a lot of musicians that they have a name. There are a lot of managers and labels and that they're extremely misogynist. I can guarantee you that. I'm not going to tell their names. They're pretty famous.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it, but they are, you know, their level of misogynism is like huge, huge. And they say, okay, I have the power. I have the name. I can destroy her. Why do you want to destroy me? It's because you're fucking jealous. There's no other way that you want to destroy me because I am starting out. I am having my own career. I'm having my own life. And you want to be an intruder. You want to intrude to my life. So I deal with that kind of things in a different way. Sometimes political, sometimes raw. But I'm trying to play the game as much as I can and put them into place. Don't forget, the mistress of the night is back. My whole performance has a meaning. I take the whip and I'm wearing my horns. So whoever speaks again bad about me for no reason, they can be whipped, you know?
I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 5 minutes, 5 years, I know your answer will be different every time. And I understand that and I recognize that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. Yeah. If you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists, or if you can't think of specific songs, just 5 artists that you'd push play to once we finish this conversation, who would those artists be? And if you can think of the songs, what would those songs be?
That's tough because I don't listen to metal and rock only. I listen to Latin and R&B, and I've written songs. I've written pop songs, reggaeton, soul, funk. You know, I play music. That's what I like. Every type of music has their own high level of artistry, as I said, and they're very catchy, very nice songs, how to write a hit always. So maybe if I want to go to the gym, I would put something upbeat and dance.
It's more of a, instead of type of arts, it's different genres. So you tap into all the different genres. I like that.
Yeah, maybe I go on my favorite list and I see this and I'm like, oh, this has a good bass, even though it's, for example, I don't know, The Weeknd or something that doesn't even, you know, or Christina Aguilera or Megadeth or something that a song that I like the production. I like the way it's been put out, the way that it's performed. So I just listen to it.
Now, what's coming up next? What's happening for the next few months?
All right. We don't know.
Okay.
We have a clue, but we don't really, really know. The thing is that I have been approached by a Greek Eurovision fan club to just put out a form for Eurovision for Greece. And I'm one of the contestants for the best 12 that they're going to compete. I'm not sure if we are on it. Yeah. So we have to be prepared. I send out a song with Ron. My friend Ron. And it's a rock ballad. It's something that Ron hasn't really done publicly, meaning that it's not SpongeBob SquarePants or, you know, it's like it's a very emotional, fairy tale-ish ballad. Yes. And I love the way that he thinks about my voice, because this is exactly the type of music that suits me. I knew that since the moment I wrote Love Circle, my first ballad, and then My Love, and then Olive Tree, all of those ballads have something in common. That rhythm, that waltz. And I love that song very much, and I hope that they like it and we can finally perform it for the Eurovision. Actually, yes. I have like the true supports from all of my friends, like Ross Friedman texting me, Billy Sheehan texting me, everybody's texting me, and I'm like, guys, keep on putting that out. Let's just go, you know?
Put it out then and step into it. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, Eurovision is just a big party. It's not live music. I think it's I think even though the instruments are real recorded, I'm not sure if it's real played on TV.
Oh, but, okay.
Yeah, they have some regulations that we need to, you know, dig in more. Yeah, but those are the plans for now. Some festivals that are coming in, because we have been invited since the previous tour with David Ellefson in the UK.
So it's exciting.
Yeah, I'd love to come back.
We look forward to seeing all the what's happening in the future. And let's say on Eurovision, winning it, holding the cup.
if they choose us, that would be awesome, because we do something different, you know.
Yes.
Normally they send out like this dance music, yes, Greek lyrics, things that, you know, if they want to make a difference this time. So that would be nice.
So Andrew, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Don't let your guard down. Don't let your nice plexiglass that you have created around you to be intruded or stepped into. You need to protect your soul. Dio has said it also. Protect your soul, right? Yes. Protect your soul.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CELEBSAVANT.